right. Just to, by way of introduction, I'm Patrick McCulley. I pastor one church in the metropolis of Delano. Anybody know where that's at? It's a big, wide spot in the road with a post office and a Mr. Zip. And other than that, there's nothing. No, we got a campground now, too, I think. Oh, I forgot, a Dollar General up the road as well. We're really moving up in the world. So I grew up in Etowah. Went in the Army after high school. Did 8 years and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Got injured in a training accident and went in a different direction with my life. Of course, the whole time I was really running from God. So, but anyway, had a lot of fun doing all that stuff, but it's definitely a young man's game, and for all you young men, that's something that you can think about doing, but for people my age, it's like, no, I would not be able to do any of that today. So let's pray, and we're going to get into this. We're going to talk about standing in the gap for our country, and if you have a subtitle today, it would be No Atheist in Foxholes, okay? Father, I thank you, Lord, today for these men that are here today. I pray, Father, that you would move and minister in our midst today. God, I thank you that you've already been speaking to us, God, and that you would continue to do so. Lord, help me, the man, get out of the way, Lord, and let your spirit speak clearly and precisely through me to these that are here today. In Jesus' name. Excuse me. And the church said, amen. All right, so now I'm just going to tell you all words of affirmation. I need some feedback. It's okay to talk as long as you're not heckling me, okay? If you heckle me, then I've got some bouncers in the back, and I'll take you out. Just kidding. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. We're talking about standing in the gap for America. Now, what I want you to understand today is, number one, I'm not up here trying to promote any political party. I'm not up here today trying to promote any candidate, okay? Because I believe that the hope for America is much larger than a D or an R or an I. Are y'all out there? Come on. Now, that doesn't mean people might have good ideas. I know we all have thoughts and opinions on all that. But politics is not the answer to our country's issues. Amen? A political party is not the answer to our country's issues. Can I get a real amen from somebody? I mean, on a personal level, I think they're all pretty screwed up, to be honest with you. So, and I don't trust any of them any further than I can throw them. But the bottom line is, my hope is not in any man or woman or person. It is in Christ and Christ alone. Amen? So, now listen, unless you've been living under a rock and have no idea what's going on anywhere in the world, then you would realize that America's been in what I would call a culture war, right? Have y'all recognized that? I mean, we've been in this culture war, and it's really a war for the soul of America, I believe. We have a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. You know, I'm a patriot by all means. I love this country. I love what we stand for. Have we done everything right our entire existence? Absolutely not. Do we have sins in our past? Absolutely we do. And we have things that we can make right. But having traveled the world, been around other places, I assure you, you will not find a better place than this one to live. And I thank God that we were able, or I have been able, to live in this nation. I consider it a privilege and an honor to have served this nation, but I don't worship this nation. Amen? Come on. How many are pro-American? How many are like, I don't know. Nobody gonna raise their hand on that. But, you know, the bottom line is, again, if you really don't think this place is that good, travel a little bit and you will realize. You know, when luxury is running water for 3 hours a day, are y'all out there? We got it pretty good in America. On our worst days, we got it pretty good in America. Can I get a real amen? So, but understand that we were founded on these Judeo-Christian principles. We were founded on biblical truths. And we were founded as a place to have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And there is a huge difference in that. We have freedom of religion. You can worship a rock if that's what you want to do in America, and nobody can say anything to you about it. But now what's happened is they want to twist everything. And when I say they, those that are coming against, let me just be bold and straightforward, those that are coming against Christianity. One of the most difficult things to be in America today is a white male Christian. And that's not meant to be a racial statement. It's meant to wake us up to realize that there are forces that are trying to divide us. They're trying to divide us by skin color, by race, by ethnicity, by socioeconomic background, how much money we have or how much we don't have. Amen. Are y'all out there? Have y'all heard terms like white privilege? I don't know about y'all, but I've not experienced a whole lot of that. And I had to work my butt off for everything I've got. Can I get an amen from anybody in here? Come on, y'all, talk to me. And again, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm saying that there are forces in motion that are trying to keep us divided, because according to the word of God that we all say we believe, that a house divided will not stand. And as long as we're divided and we're fighting one another and we're calling one another names, we are not going to be on our face like what Casey was preaching just a few minutes ago, praying for our enemies. And we have made one another the enemy instead of the enemy the enemy. Amen? And so we need to understand that the way to break through in this culture war that we're in is not by yelling and screaming and picketing and talking terrible to one another. It is by getting on our face and standing in the gap for this nation. That was a real good place for y'all to say amen. I know it's a challenge to do, and as men, the truth is, we've delegated warfare to women in the church. We don't like to pray. I don't know about you, but you know, most men are like, you know, hey God, I love you, I appreciate you, and if I need you, I'll let you know. Come on, let's be honest today, right? I'm doing this. I know I need God, but you know, I'm only really going to cry out to him when I'm at the very end of myself. We like to be around other men, but we don't want to share with other men because we're like, I got this, I'm good. We can be dragging our arm and we're like, I'm okay, I'm all right, right? Suck it up, buttercup. Come on, talk to me, right? And that's the way we as men are. We were innately designed to lead. So sometimes we have a trouble or an issue following. God put it in us to lead. But in order to truly lead, we've got to learn to submit to something higher than ourselves. And that thing that's higher than ourselves is God. Amen? It's the truth of God's word. So let me just read some things out of my notes here. And guys, I apologize. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I was up all night sick. So if I'm not knocking it out of the park today, I apologize for that. But the bottom line is y'all are getting the best you can get right now, okay, from me. So I've came about this close to calling and saying, hey, man, I can't do it today. So, all right. So today we argue over things about like racial identity, class identity, gender identity, sexual identity, right? And political ideologies, right? I mean, we can't even define what a woman is anymore in America. Come on, talk to me. Again, I'm not trying to be controversial, but I am trying to wake us up as the church. We need to realize that there are some forces at work that are trying to change us and challenge us into what do we really believe in the church. And unless we know this generation that's coming behind us, they're definitely not going to know. Last night, it was mentioned that this is the most fatherless generation ever, other than in a time of war. But let me tell you, that's not just a father in the home, it's fathers in the church as well. Spiritual fathers that we need. Amen? So we can no longer identify simple things. I mean, used to, there was only two genders. Now I don't even know how many they've come up with. Are y'all out there? I mean, we're arguing against truth, and truth is no longer a standard, it is a feeling. Your truth is different than my truth. My truth is different than yours. My truth is whatever makes me feel good, and your truth is your truth. And that's just not true. 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. Whether I like it, don't like it, wish it was, don't think it should be or not, it's always going to equal 4. Can I get an amen? And so some things are just true, and the something that is true is this word of God right here. This is the absolute plumb line where we have to measure our lives by, and when we don't line up, this isn't adjusted, we are. And as a nation, we need to adjust to this, not adjust this to what the political tide is of the day or the feeling is of today or the common ideology is of today. Amen? Come on. So truth is now, is not personal. Truth is truth. And the truth shall make you free. But we cannot compromise truth in order to win people. Amen? Think about this. How many people in the Bible did Jesus say, it's okay, you're screwed up, don't worry about it. I love you. Did he love them? Absolutely. Did he tell them it was okay to live the lives they were living? Absolutely not. Amen? The church is not welcoming to sinners in the way that it should be, because as Casey was just preaching, and I told him, I said, man, you need to take my time. That was really good. If any of y'all were in here. But bottom line is, we want to compromise the truth of God's word in order to not offend people. And how many know Jesus offended people? I don't know about y'all, but you know, hey, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombstones. That's not a very nice thing to say to people. And we've got this, you know, Hollywoodized Jesus and Americanized Jesus that thinks that he doesn't ever offend people, and he did offend people. Not to be offensive, but the truth will offend you so that you have to evaluate what it is that you believe. If you're never being challenged, you're never going to grow. Amen? So we got to understand that. So again, now let me continue on here. My goal today is not to point out just the disparities between a Christian worldview and a secular worldview. I believe we all in this room understand that there are major differences in the two, right? There's a secular worldview and there's a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, right? And so, again, we've not come today to promote or talk about political parties and ideologies. We've come to talk about what does the Word of God say and what are we as men to do in order to stand in the gap for this nation, right? So, what I have come to do today is to challenge us to rise to the occasion. To stand up. One of my favorite passages is stand strong, act like men. Amen. What does that mean? What does it mean to act like a man? Because in America, we no longer know what, you know, it's toxic masculinity. That is contrary to the Word of God. And we keep buying these things and we keep saying these things that are contrary to the Word of God. Masculinity in and of itself is not toxic. It is necessary. You need men and you need women. We have different roles and different functions, but together we're better. In a perfect environment that God created and set a man in, he said, you know what? It's really not good for him to be by himself. Let me make him a helper suitable for him. In a perfect environment. How much more so do men and women need one another today? Amen? So again, we have this ideology that's being promoted and pushed out there that says we should pit one another against the other. And that is not truth. That is not a biblical perspective. That is not a Christian idea. Men are not better than women. We're different than men or than women. Amen? Women are not better than men. They're different than men. Amen? And our differences, I say it this way, we have all been made deficient by design. We need one another. Amen? So now I'm talking to you today about there's no atheist in foxholes. All that was just my opening, okay? So everybody take a deep breath. Here we go. So there's no atheist in foxholes. What does that really mean? That means that when push comes to shove, when you're in the thick of things, when you're in the battle, you are going to fall back on the things that you really believe. When you're in the foxhole, you're not fighting for some greater cause any longer. You're fighting to stay alive. You're fighting for the person beside you because you need them to stay alive so that you can stay alive. Amen? And how many knows the word says that two are better than one, for they'll have a great reward if they walk together. Amen? And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so we got to realize that in those times of battle, we need to come alongside one another. We need to hook up with like-minded people that have the same enemy in their sights as we do. We're fighting a common enemy. And it's not Democrats. It's not Republicans. It's not a political ideology. It is the prince of darkness and the powers of the airs. Amen? And we've got to quit making our battle against flesh and blood and make it against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the high places. Can I get an amen? Because people can be used by all of those forces, but the bottom line is, you're not my enemy. The devil is my enemy. Amen? And we got to quit fighting one another and fight the enemy. Amen? So we got to understand today that in a foxhole, man, people do it afraid. People fight and engage in fear. So it's not, I'm not calling you to a place of not ever walking in any kind of fear. I'm saying that you can do it even though you are afraid. You can continue the battle no matter what the surroundings look like. You have been trained. You have been taught. You know the word of God. Now let your training take over. You know, there are things that I learned 20 plus years ago that instantly, I have muscle memory. How many of y'all were in the military? Y'all stand up. Attend. Huh. Do you see? How long has it been since you've been in that position?
Since
91. There we go. Point proven. Have a seat. Thank you, guys. I mean, it just comes to you. An about face. You can still do it. I've not done that, and I don't know how long. Are y'all out there? How do you get to that place? By doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. How do we get strong in the spirit? By doing it over and over and over and over again. How do we get powerful? By practicing the word, by believing the word, by declaring the word over and over and over and over again until it becomes muscle memory, spiritually speaking. Amen? In the battle's not time to learn how to fire your weapon. If my gun gets jammed in the thick of battle, I don't need to look over and go, hey man, do you remember how to fix this? I need to know. I'm out of bullets. Do you know how to load my weapon? Too late. And the truth is, we're not training this generation that's coming up behind us to be ready for the battle. Do they know how to fire their weapons? Do they know how to load their weapon? Do they know how to focus and target the enemy the way they need to know? Amen? Paul said in Corinthians, you have not many fathers in the church. You have thousands of teachers, but you don't have many fathers. What did we hear last night from Pastor Kelly? We heard one man say, Father, my Father. Why? Because he wanted what the Father could do for him. King Joash, right? And then the other man, Elisha, said, Father, my Father, because he wanted to walk in his father's, spiritual father's footsteps. So there's two ways that we can look at fathers. We need to raise up a generation of people that don't just want what we have, but want to be able to do the things that we did and take it to the next level. Amen. That's a real good place for y'all to say amen. I want these young men and young women that are coming up behind us to be able to engage what they need to engage and destroy what they need to destroy and take what they need to take. Jesus said that we are to occupy till he returns. And that word occupy is a military term, meaning that you enforce what I've already won. And the church has not been doing a good job of enforcing what he's already won. So our job is to be an occupying force in the earth. How do we do that? We let our light shine. Let our good works go before us so that other men and women will see our good works and glorify God, not us. Amen. We walk out the principles and the precepts found in this word of God on a daily basis so that other people will go, he really believes what he says. And that'll make a difference in the earth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, y'all don't need to make me keep asking for my amens, okay? Y'all can say them on your own. So, what are we talking about? Mentorship. We need mentorship again in the church. Again, we have this generation that's coming up, Generation Z. How many know what Z is? It's the last letter. They're saying you're it. That's what the world is saying about you guys. You're it. This is it. And what are we in the church doing to reach them? I read an article the other day that said, quit feeding me pizza. Teach me how to war. Teach me the principles and the precepts in the Word. Why? Because they are on the internet, they're on TikTok, they're on all these things, and they're looking for a cause to join up with. And the church doesn't really give them one. We just want to entertain them instead of teach them and train them. And we need to quit worrying about entertaining the youth and train the youth. Why? Because there's going to come a day when I ain't going to be here, when you're not going to be here, and somebody's got to be able to continue on this legacy. Amen? So we got to understand that. So we need fathers in the church. And when I say fathers, I mean people that are willing to mentor the generation that is coming behind them. Ezekiel 22:30 says this, and I sought for a man among them. Is there any men in here? Wow, two of you. And I sought for a man among them. Is there any men in here? Amen. Come on, it's okay. It's not toxic to be a man, y'all. We can be a man and still love Jesus. Amen. And I sought for a man among them. He sought for somebody that would be strong and stand up and act like a man. He looked for somebody that should build the wall, he said, and stand in the gap before me in the land. What does it mean to stand in the gap? Well, let me tell you, if you're going to stand in the gap, first and foremost, you got to recognize there is one. And the problem is we're blind to the gap. We don't even realize it. We're like, oh yeah, he's got it. He don't need any help. He's good to go. Maybe he's getting tired. Maybe we can be the Aaron and Hur for him and come alongside him and lift his arms and support him in prayer and support what he's doing and stand in that gap. Join arms with one another and become truly brothers in arms. Amen? Amen. And so we can learn to do that. The Lord is looking for men that will stand in the gap. How many of y'all are willing to stand in the gap? What is a gap? It's a divide, it's a hole, it's a difference, it's a void, it's an inconsistency. Do any of those things fit the culture that we live in? There is a divide between us and them. Between those that profess Christ and those that don't. Amen? And our place in the gap is not to stand up and say, you're going to hell. Our place in the gap is to stand up and say, Jesus loves you and made a way for you to escape the punishment. And he loves you right where you're at. And he can deliver you and bring you up and bring you out of whatever it is that you're in. I was just like you until Jesus came along. Amen. And that is standing in the gap for this generation, standing in the gap for this nation. Amen? There's differences. There's voids. What is the void? Do you understand that in any void, there is some force that's going to fill that void? If you create a void, some force will fill that void. A vacuum, something's going to slide in there. And the problem is the church is not standing in the gap. So guess what? Secularism has slid in that gap in the place of where we're supposed to be. And where we've compromised, the enemy said, thank you, I'll take that. And we're not occupying. We're inhabiting, and that's different than occupying. We've become like them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, for I am holy. Where's holiness at in the church? Come on, y'all, talk to me. We're still called to be holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Come out from among them and act like somebody that God has made a difference in their life. That's literally what he's saying. Don't be not conformed to this world. Amen? Why is he saying that? Because we have all these forces that are trying to mold us and make us look and act and sound and smell just like the world. And the truth is, we've not been called to do that. We've been called to love the world, but not be part of it. I want to say it again. We've been called to love the world, but not be part of it. I don't have to sin to say I love a sinner. I can love people in their sin and still say it's a sin. Amen? Again, Jesus didn't repulse sinners. He drew them. And he never compromised the truth of who he was or what God wanted for him. And yet, he was called the friend of sinners. The church doesn't have to compromise to be the friend of sinners. We can still be the friend of sinners and stand on the truth of God's word. Amen? So the gap will not be filled with arguing or demeaning one another. And that's all we see. You know, I try my best not to watch too much news because, first of all, it just makes me mad. And you're going to get a witness in here. You know, they get 14 people. Well, what do you think about it? Well, what do you think? I don't care what they think about it. All I want to know is the facts. Let me determine what I think about it. Right? But, you know, in 24-hour news cycles, we got to fill that time. And then they get people on there arguing, and all you have is strife and contention, strife and contention. And you're inviting that crap into your house every day. Not just into your house, but into your house every day. Strife and contention, strife and contention, strife and contention. And this opinion and that opinion, and they're all based on what? Their personal version of truth and not the word of God. Again, we've got to quit being political in the church and become biblical in the church. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Amen? That's the way we fight. That is spiritual warfare. We wage war in the heavenlies. And how do we do that? On our knees in this realm. and we wage war in that realm. We declare, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we take authority and we bind up these forces that are bringing division and strife and contention and try to destroy. And whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, right? Lord, we loose liberty and freedom and joy. Are y'all out there? Peace. And you start by doing it in your own home. Because I need to fix my yard before I work on your yard. Can I get an amen from somebody? Nothing makes me more frustrated than somebody that has no idea what I'm dealing with trying to fix my problem. If you've never been married, don't come try to fix mine. Amen. Y'all need to edit that out because I love my wife. But if you've never had a kid, don't come tell me how to raise mine. Amen. Y'all, I think it was Dr. Spock, if I'm not mistaken, wrote all those books, you know, and had no children. And people found that out and they're like, I wish he would. You know, you don't know what it's like. And there's truth to that. Amen. Sometimes our experiences make us more relatable to people. I tell people all the time, who better than to tell you to look both ways crossing the street than somebody that's been hit by a car? Can I get an amen? They're going to bring it across in a way that a lot of us can't, right? Because I've never stepped out into traffic and got hit by a car. But I assure you, if I did, I'd be like, hey, you really need to pay attention. Look. Look again. Make sure. Why? Because I've experienced that. And I'm not telling you to go build a testimony. I'm telling you your life will build its own testimonies. And when it does, use those to minister to other people. Amen? You could obviously tell that Pastor Casey had lived what he was preaching a few minutes ago. He understood what it was like to be the offender and to be offended. And the truth is, we've all been in both those roles ourselves. But he made it so real and so tangible that you thought, you know what? Yeah, I can relate to that. Because he took where he had been and used it as a testimony to bring God glory. Amen? And that's what we've got to do. We don't brag about where we've been, but we use where we've been to bring testimony to God's goodness and favor and glory in our lives. Amen? And that is part of that standing in the gap for this nation. But if we want to run around being secret agent Christians... I heard a term yesterday, and again, guys, I'm really not a political person, but so I don't want y'all to take any of this stuff I'm saying wrong, but if you do, I'm sorry, so I'm just going to go ahead and apologize in advance. But they were talking about the shy Trump voter, you know, and I thought, well, we got a bunch of shy Jesus followers. Amen. Forget Trump voters. We got a bunch of shy Jesus followers. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to catch the flack from being a Christian in this environment. In the same way, people don't want to openly admit that they're supporting Donald Trump because they don't want to listen to it. We have people doing the same thing in the body of Christ, and they don't really stand up for the things of God because they don't want to catch the flack for it. And we need to quit being shy Christians and be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen? And the wicked flee when no man pursues them. We don't need to be fleeing. We need to be standing and standing bold. Amen? So we got to understand that. So the gap's going to be filled with prayer. We're going to take authority over demonic forces. We're going to cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Now, let me break this down for us. We've talked, we've laid some foundation here. Let me talk to you about what it means to be elite. How many want to be elite? Okay, how many just want to be mediocre? Okay, so then you want to be elite. How many's not going to raise their hand no matter what I say? So... if you want to be elite, then it's going to cost you something. Amen? You can't do what everybody else is doing and wind up in that category called elite. Amen? You're going to have to go above and beyond. The bare minimum, as Kelly taught last night, will not put you in the elite category. You're going to have to give above and beyond, more than what you want to, more than what you can even think. I remember we ran one time, and they said, we need 20 people to go in this next class. We have too many. I don't remember the number, so I'm just throwing out a number, y'all. I'm not lying. I just don't remember, okay? I'm old. So they said, we need X amount of people to wait and go with the next class. We have too many in this one. And they said, everybody that wants to volunteer to wait and start with the next class, step over here. No one moved, as you would think, right? So they're like, come on, guys, we need X amount of people to wait and go with this next class. We have too many in this class. We need to thin the herd a little bit. No one moved. Why? Because we were all like, bless God, I'm elite. I'm going to do it. You can't tell me I can't do it. And all they were saying was, wait a week, not you can't do it. But none of us wanted to wait a week. Nobody wanted to be seen as, well, he done quit. Are y'all out there? And so they said, okay, then here's how we'll do it. Right face. We're going to run until X amount of people fall out of formation. And that's what we did. We ran, and to this day I have no idea how far we ran, but I literally saw people puke on themselves, mess on themselves. They ran us to death until... I saw men that were tough as nails break down and cry because they were thinking, I'm not going to make it. Are y'all out there? And they just ran us until we could not run anymore, until X amount of people fell out. And then they said, okay, good deal. All of y'all are in. You guys start next week. If you want to be elite, you're going to have to push beyond the bounds of normalcy. Do you want to be elite? Do you want to be on God's A-team? Special Forces have a thing called an A-team. It's 12-man team. Okay? And what they do is they go into a society, they go into a region, and they win the hearts and minds of the people by meeting common, everyday, normal needs. A special forces medic can do surgery. He can do dentist work. He can do OBGYN. He can deliver babies. Are y'all out there? He can do all kinds of stuff. Then they have other guys. They have an engineer with them that can tell them how to dig better latrines and manage their sewage and start meeting these normal needs of that society that they're in. Are y'all out there? And they do that, and so they show up and they start making a difference. He who has an ear, let him hear. And so these 12 men show up in this population and they say, hey man, I see you got a problem right there. You know what? We could fix that. And they win the hearts and minds of the people. And then once they've won the hearts and minds of the people, then they step up and they begin to teach them about warfare. And they raise up what's called an indigenous force. And 12 men can then command a force of thousands. And they raise up the enemy of their enemy in the enemy's camp. Are y'all out there? He who has an ear, let him hear. I said they raise up an enemy of their enemy in the enemy's camp. They go into the enemy's territory and they train people how to fight this common enemy. And they say, you know what? Because you have met our needs, because you have shown us that you care about us, because you have done these things, we're willing to follow you. Why? Because you've invested in us. Now we'll invest in you. And then they teach them to invest in themselves and they take the territory of the enemy. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's calling you to be elite, to join the A-team, if you will. And I'm not talking about the one with Mr. T, okay? Are y'all out there? Are you willing to pay that price to do something different? Are you willing to go through the training that it takes to be a part of an A-team? Are you willing to push beyond the bounds of your own flesh and your own unwillingness to be uncomfortable? Amen? And do what seems like you can't do, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And join that A team and be a part of something bigger than yourself. That's what God is looking for. Amen. Elite means this: it's a select group that is superior in quality, rank, and skill. I don't know why Siri is trying to listen to me. Siri, quit listening to me. Turn off. Or just stay there. I don't care. So, a select group superior in quality, rank, and skill. Are you willing to be one of those people that are superior? Not in a prideful way, guys, but you're willing to put the time, the effort, and the energy so that when God says, I sought for a man that would build the wall and stand in the gap, you can say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm willing. Where I'm weak, you'll be made strong. Are y'all out there? You will grace me to do what I'm not able to do. Are you willing to be on God's A team and stand in the gap for this nation? Because that's what it's going to take. We need to now raise up an indigenous force in the enemy's camp to retake some territory. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to meet their needs. We're going to show them we care. We're going to act like we want to invest in them and not that they're getting on our nerves. Or we think that they're worth investing in. And as we do those things, then we're going to be able to step into situations and begin to train their hands for war so that they then can take the enemy's camp. Let's stand up. I don't know how long I had. Do y'all know how long? 10 till? Is it done? Am I done? They're saying, shut it off back there. That's my son-in-law. He's always saying, shut it off back there. So, how many want to be on the A team? You're willing to go above and beyond. Because that's literally what I hear the Lord asking us. You know, is he going to love you if you don't? Absolutely. Are you still going to go to heaven if you don't? Absolutely. But I don't know about you, man, but in everything that I've ever done in life, I wanted to be able to influence other people and help other people. Can I get an amen from somebody in here? Listen, when I was a drug dealer, I was a good drug dealer. I was. I got a lot of people high for the very first time. I sold a lot of people drugs for the very first time. I talked a lot of people into partying for their very first time. And the first prayer that I prayed when I gave my heart to Christ was, let me be as effective for your kingdom as I was the kingdom of darkness. God has called us to lead, men. That is a calling on our lives, and the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. We don't get out of it. We may choose not to, but we're still called to. So I pray over you today that you would say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'll stand in the gap. Amen? Father, I pray, Lord, today that you would take this, Lord, and you would use it in our lives, God, and you would bring us to a place, Lord, where we're willing to go beyond the veil of our own flesh into your presence and into your purpose. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for coming.